Welcome to Sardis. We want to ask you to stand with us, and we're going to start out by declaring what a mighty God we serve. So y'all sing this with us. Put your hands together if you want to. Of a mighty God this morning. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. I'm so thankful that we serve a Lord who loves us and He surrounds us with people who loves us. Amen. We want to continue to worship the Lord. This song is called Victor's Crown. No matter what you may be going through in your life today, know that we have victory in Christ. He will reign eternal. And though at times in this life it seems like we may never win, we serve a victorious God, amen? And He is the greatest victor of all. So sing this with us as we continue to worship our Lord this morning.
You are always fighting for us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that You wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my Savior and my friend. By Your grace I live and breathe to worship You. At the mention of Your greatness, in Your name I will bow down. In Your presence fear is silent, for You wear the victor's crown. Let Your glory fill this temple, let Your power overflow. By Your grace I live and breathe to worship You. Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah. Jesus, You have overcome the world. The lost become the found. You can never be defeated, for You wear the victor's crown. You are Jesus the Messiah. You're the hope of all the world. By Your grace I live and breathe to worship You. Thank you.
Savior who is greater than anything we face in this life. I pray this morning that whatever you're going through, you would just lean on him and know that he is our victor. He is our cornerstone. He is the one that we should place our hope in no matter what life comes. And I'm so thankful that we are not in life alone. Our Savior, our Redeemer, he loves us. He carries us through it all. Amen. And this is what this song simply says. He is our cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Sing that one more time.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone,
Lord, just to sit in your presence and depend on you, knowing, Lord, that it's nothing that we can do, nothing the world can give, but it's all, you are all that we need. And God, this morning we continue to worship, and this song simply says, Word of God, speak. Please, Lord, come and speak to our hearts as Donnie comes in a minute to bring your word. Speak your truth to us, Lord. May we dismiss the lies of the enemy that we've believed this week. And may we hear your word and your truth, Lord. Change us, dear God, so that we could truly worship you. We love you, Jesus, and we want to worship you this morning with all that we have. In your precious name we pray.
At a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain?
Good morning to you. It is certainly a blessing to be here. If you would, go ahead and take your Bibles, or if you do the smart device kind of deal, go ahead and take your app, go to your app and find Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to continue our Grace Living series, which is just a simple journey, verse by verse, through the book of Ephesians. And so we'll dive into Ephesians chapter 5, and this morning we'll be looking at verses 19 through 21, Ephesians 5, verses 19 through 21, and I do want to take the time just to say how blessed we are to have been here. I think December will be 7 years that you guys asked us to be here as an interim, and then you made sure that Rachel was going to stick with me, and then on March of 14th of 2009, is when Rachel decided to stay, and we got married the day before, that's when you guys voted us in. So this March will be 7 years, and I know some of you are thinking, boy, those were 7 long years, but I'm thinking that they've been 7 short years, and we are truly blessed, and I know Pastor Jonathan and Miss Allison would echo the same thing. Actually, September was their 6-year mark here with us at Sardis, and so it's been a joy and a blessing, and we love all of you more than you could ever imagine. And thank you so much for allowing us to be your pastor these 7 years. Again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. We've been working our way through the first part of chapter 5, and we really kind of started off by spending a couple of weeks at the first 14 verses and talking about the concept and the truth that as believers, we are called to be saints. And that just means set apart ones, not perfect ones, not without sin, but we are set apart to live for the Lord in a world that is doing anything but that. And if the world is ever to have any hope at all, then it is found in you and I as the church, living as the church. Living as the light of Christ in a lost and ever-darkening world. And so we spent the first couple of Sundays, you know, in chapter 5 talking about that. And then last Sunday, we came to verse 15, As Paul began to address the importance of us watching our walk, or really paying very careful attention to the way we live as Christians, if we are trying to make an impact for Christ, then it is impossible to do that if we don't watch the way we live. There are a lot of people who claim the name of Christ and then believe that they can go and live their lives any way that they want to, and they're expecting to make an impact for Christ. And that is impossible. It is impossible to do if we are not doing everything we can to pay close attention to the way we live our lives in this world. And I shared with you a funny video last week about the lady, you know, caught in the apartment fire, and she said, you know, ain't nobody got time for that. Well, as Christians, we have to get away from that mindset, and we have to make time to pay attention to the walk that we live before the world around us. Because I told you last week that it's those who walk the walk and not just talk the talk that make the difference for Jesus Christ. One of the problems in the ineffectiveness of the church, the body of Christ in general, is because there are a lot of people who talk the talk and don't walk the walk. And we have to, as a believer, walk the walk. We have to be sincere in what we do in our relationship with Jesus Christ, evaluating our lives, making the most of every opportunity we're given to make a difference, understanding what God's will is for our lives. And then the final thing that we talked about last week as we watch our walk was the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul urges us that in verse 18. Notice what he said, and let's kind of take a step back so we can take a step forward. He said, "See then," in verse 15, "that you walk circumspectly," or pay careful attention to the way you walk, "not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And here is verse 18. He says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Say that last phrase with me one more time. Be filled with the Spirit. We have to, as believers, if we are to ever do anything of eternal value for the Lord, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I read a story of a husband who was kind of henpecked. Anybody know? You know what henpecked means? Anybody know? I'm not henpecked. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. I'm just making sure everybody knows what it means. Not literally henpecked. I know probably, Eli, y'all have been literally henpecked with your chickens. Not literally henpecked. But the husband was henpecked, and so he was advised by a psychiatrist to start asserting himself more. "You don't have to let your wife bully you," she said. "You go home and show her you're the boss." Well, the husband decided to take the doctor's advice. He went home, he slammed the door, he shook his fist in his wife's face and growled. I would not recommend any of this, husbands, actually. Shook his fist in his wife's face and he growled, "From now on, you're taking orders from me. I want my supper right now. And when you get it on the table, go upstairs, lay out my clothes. Tonight, I'm going out with the boys. You're going to stay at home where you belong. Another thing, you know who is going to tie my bow tie?" "I certainly do," said his wife calmly. "The Undertaker." You see, we're always walking through life wondering who's the boss. But when we're a Christian, we only have one boss, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the idea of being filled with the Holy Spirit, as we shared with you last week, is the idea of allowing the Holy Spirit to have complete control of our lives. Of us setting ourselves aside so that God can have freedom to do whichever He chooses, whatever He chooses in and through our lives. And really, in verses 19 through 21, Paul gives us the idea of what that kind of life looks like, of what the Spirit-filled life looks like. If you want to visibly see someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, then Paul sets us the example of who that person would be, what that person would look like. Now, when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, there are a lot of opinions of what being filled with the Spirit looks like, but, you know, really only one opinion matters, and it's not really an opinion, it's fact. And it's really God's thought on the subject, what God believes His children should look like and their lives should look like. And so here in verses 19 through 21, Paul gives us three characteristics of the Spirit-filled life, of the life who has said, "God, today I want you to fill me with your Spirit." We wake up the next day and say, "God, today I want you to fill me with your Spirit." You wake up the next day, "God, today I want you to fill me with your Spirit," and live our day submitting complete control, surrendering our lives to God. And there are three things that he points out here in verses 19 through 21. So let's dive in there and then we'll talk about those. He says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Three things about the Spirit-filled life. And here's the first characteristic he talks about here. In verse 19, it is simply this: worship. Worship. This is going to be the most simple outline you've probably ever seen me do. Worship. Verse 19, he says, speaking to yourselves. And in the original language, it's not just talking about, hey, Sloan, what you doing, man? Kendall, what you up to, bro? It's not that kind of speaking. And Kendall kind of don't talk a whole lot anyway, do you? It's not really that kind of stuff. He's not talking about, the original word is laleo, which is a Greek word, and it refers to a sound made by the movement of a tongue. And in the context of what Paul is saying, he is using it in the context specifically of singing. Of singing. It's very clear. What Paul is talking about is the sound we make when we move our tongues in song. Now, here's the deal, this is coming from a very sincere approach. But here's the deal. As believers, I believe the Bible teaches us that we should worship Him through song. I believe the Bible teaches us that we should be willing to worship Him regardless of what we believe or whether or not we kind of give ourselves to the style of worship that we would prefer. For instance, a lot of times, here's the argument. Well, I don't express my worship that way, and so I just choose not to sing. Well, see, the real problem is, first of all, that you should, because God is talking about it here, and He talks about it through His Word. But really, here's the truth. When we are filled with the Spirit of God, at some point, something has to come out. Something has to come out, and it is good, and it'll be worship. When we are filled with the Spirit of God, it's almost as if you can't contain yourself because you are so filled. There has to be a verbal expression of worship through opening our mouths and moving our tongues and letting a sound come out. Now, I'm not saying this got to be a good sound. Goodness knows, mine's not a good sound. But it sounds good to God. And there's a difference in that. It doesn't have to be a good sound, but it can surely sound good to God. And I know when it comes to the idea of worship, when it comes to the idea of expressing sound through song, then I know many, many churches, and thankfully the worship wars are kind of dwindling. Back about 5 to 10 years ago, there were so many churches that were splitting because of this music or that music, and I believe the heart of God was so broken over that. I believe it just probably, I don't know if you can drive God crazy, probably not, or I would have already done it, but I just think He was probably kind of bothered by it, certainly. But here's the deal when it comes to worship and why some people choose or choose not to sing, to song, and so forth. Normally it comes down to your music versus my music argument. And again, you know my heart, and I'm sincere in this, but normally it's something like this. Well, if you would sing the songs I like, then I would sing. Isn't that how it goes? It normally is. But here's the truth. Here's what I have seen. Because I have watched and I have observed, not here, I'm talking in all that. We go to a lot of different churches, and I've just seen it in general of Christians. Here's the deal. That's really not necessarily the truth. It's not necessarily the truth. If you're a person that has a heart for singing and expressing your worship, as Paul is talking about through song, then it's not really going to matter, for the most part, the style of music. Because people who are willing to worship God through song are willing to worship Him most often through any song as long as it's God-honoring and biblical. That's just the truth. And I have seen that regardless of where I have been. I have seen that. If people have bought into the concept and the biblical concept of worshiping through song, then they're going to worship through song regardless. Regardless of what it may mean. And to be honest, and you know that I do prefer the more modern praise and worship. But guess what? When we go to other churches that sing the hymns, we sing the hymns. Do you know why? Because worship is not about the song, it's about the heart. And that's what God looks at. Again, if the music is biblical and honoring to God, then it comes down to the concept of whether or not one's heart is so filled with the Spirit that they are motivated to worship through song. And I feel like God deserves at least to some degree for me to engage my heart in worship by opening my mouth, regardless if I prefer the music or not. Why? Because I want to show God that I worship Him. I want to show God that if He's worth my life, then He's worth my song. He's worth my worship. If I'm willing to give Him my life, then I should be willing to give Him my worship. And the worship through my song. And so I understand, I know all the notions and the arguments, but it boils down to what Paul is saying here. Because this is a continuing of the sentence he began in talking about being filled with the Spirit. So if we are filled with the Spirit, then we're going to speak through song. We're going to worship Him. And here's the key. Here is why worship is so important. Let me just give you two quick reasons. The first is this: it encourages one another. When we worship, it encourages one another. He said, speaking to yourselves. And then he went on to say, in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs. Now, a psalm was just a scripture set to music. When you read the book of Psalms and so many of those were just songs that were expressed through music. And most often they were expressed through the worship in the tabernacle. And they would sing the psalms. They were the songs that were the scripture that was set to music. And he refers to hymns here, and as much as we would like to believe it's the hymns in our books and so forth, none of those were around back then, and they were all new at some point. But what the word hymn literally refers to is a song that is uttered in praise to God. That's it. That's what a hymn is. A song that is uttered coming from our lips in praise to God. And then he also says spiritual songs, which refers to the soulful songs such as choruses that stir us deep within. Christ alone, my cornerstone, a chorus that just resonates, that you sing with all of your soul because you've been through the storms of life and you found that He is your cornerstone. And when we take part in worship in the way that Paul is talking about, making melody in our heart, engaging our hearts, then guess what? It blesses other people. It blesses other people. I love going to a church that sings hymns and everybody sings them and they're worshiping God and lifting their hands and raising their hearts to God. Hey, I get encouraged by that. And I love going to the churches that sing praise and worship and they're lifting their hearts and their hands and worshiping God. I get encouraged by that. I love seeing Christians worship with all of their hearts. Regardless of music style and music preference, I love it. The word melody, it refers to the stirring of our inner emotions, being moved within. How many of you enjoy when you're a part of the worship service, when people around you are moved within? I enjoy it. I love it. It's an encouragement to me. And when we are surrounded by other people in worship, the worst thing we can do is to say that we're a believer and remove ourselves from verbally worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be an encouragement to those sitting around us. How can we do that? By worshiping. By worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. It's encouragement to others. He said, speaking to yourselves. But it also exalts God. It exalts God. He says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. See, we're not singing to someone when we sing through worship and we worship through song. We are singing to the one who has made all the difference in our lives. When we worship through songs that, again, are biblically sound and God-honoring, it exalts God. It lifts high the name of Jesus. It places Him at the forefront of our hearts. And that's why even for unchurched people, when they come to church, lost people come into a church, when they see the church worshiping, exalting God, that's why worship, our worship, can be a testimony and witness to those who are lost. Because true worship exalts God and points other people to Him. And that's why some people worship through lifting their hands. We don't do that so that it's like in a classroom, the teacher sees us and everybody else looks at us. No. When you lift your hands, it's just a visible demonstration that you are exalting God, that all the honor, it's almost an extension of your heart when you lift your hand upward. And that's why some choose to lift their hands, visibly demonstrating their worship to heaven and not to earth. This is why some people say amen. When during the points of a song, they verbally demonstrate that their worship is to heaven and not to earth. And again, it doesn't matter how new or old the song is. What matters is that our hearts are so filled with the Spirit that we are lifting our voices to exalt God. In fact, the word songs in verse 19, it's used to describe the hooting of an owl and the croaking of a frog in some context. I find that interesting. First of all, I kind of sound like an owl and a frog when I sing. But secondly, if an old owl can hoot and a frog can croak, then don't you think every Christian should be able to open their mouth and sing? I believe they should. We're going to do it for all of eternity in heaven. Do you realize that? Heaven's not all about, one promise of heaven is to see our loved ones, be reunited with those we've lost. And yeah, we've got all the splendid promises of no more death and sorrow and pain. But heaven is worship. For all of eternity, worshiping the Lord God and His Son, Jesus Christ. For all of eternity. And if we can't verbally worship here, then something's wrong. Because we're going to be doing it in heaven for all of eternity. And guess what? The volume won't matter up there. The style of music won't matter up there. The object of our worship is what matters. And so Paul is giving us the idea, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then we're going to worship. We're going to worship. And that's just not our church. Every church I go into, it frustrates me to see people that are Christians and just, regardless of the style of music, it frustrates me. I guess you can tell. But I think it also frustrates God, and that's why He mentions worship through song and visible demonstration so often in His Word. The second thing is this. You can take a deep breath, and Pastor will get off this, and you know, it's okay. We'll make it. The second thing is this. Gratitude. That's another characteristic if we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, how grateful are you? How grateful are you? Not just for any specific thing, but for everything. Look at what he says in verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he says always for all things. So it gives us the idea that we can give thanks for all things, even those sometimes that we don't necessarily like or enjoy, because we know that the Bible teaches, and as believers, we can have the assurance that God can take all things and work it for our good and His glory. That's the only way a Christian can be grateful in all things, is because we are assured of what God can do in and through all things in our lives. But a spirit of an ingratitude has just so saturated our lives and our society, it is disheartening. Wouldn't you agree? And you know, nobody is thankful for anything. They really aren't. And we walk through our lives every day seeming as though we are the least blessed people on the face of the earth, when in fact, we especially in the United States of America are the greatest, most richest blessed people on the face of this earth. We live in what is called an entitlement society. I mean, it seems as though we have created this entitlement society, maybe by so many people not having to work for anything and just being given almost everything they have, but maybe more than anything, it is because we're just wanting to take too much of the credit that God deserves for all the good things that we have in our lives. I am guilty of this so often, and God has to just knock me on the head every so often and just say, hey, really? You need to quit walking and living like this is kind of all because of you, because it's not. It's all because of me. But we think, well, man, I worked so hard for my promotion. Start trying to take the credit. We think, well, I go to work every day to pay for the house or the car. You know, I've earned everything I've made in my life. You ever said or thought anything like that? Heard anybody say anything like that? You absolutely have. And those things may be true. In fact, I wish more people now worked as hard as most people did back then, whenever then is. I wish that. I really, really do. But here is the deal. Regardless, all good things come from God. Do you realize that every good thing you have in your life is from God? Everything. He's given you the ability to do what you do, to say what you say, even though you shouldn't say it. He's given you the ability to breathe, to wake up each day and to pursue your God-given dreams and inspirations. All of those are a gift from God. He has given you the family that you have. Amen? He has given you the health that you have. Some of you are thinking, well, it's better than death, isn't it? Right? It is. Amen. He's given us the health that we have. But then we can think about the spiritual side of things. Where would we be if it were not for Him? Where would we be? Where would we be headed if it were not for the Lord Jesus Christ? Stepping in when everyone, we would be headed to an eternity separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is the key to all gratitude. The key to gratitude is to understand from whom and through whom all blessings come from. As Paul says it, we give thanks always for all things unto God. So we give thanks to God because He is the giver. I've shared with you, giving originated with the heart of God. That's why we get all stingy with our money and our possessions and our resources. Shame on us. Because had God been stingy for a moment, then we would still be lost without a relationship with Christ, headed for an eternity in hell. Giving originated with the heart of God. He is the giver, so we are to give thanks always for all things unto God. We are to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is through our relationship with Christ that the blessings of God flow into our lives. Through our relationship with Christ. And so you might be here and you're thinking, well, you know, I don't have what they have. Listen, but you're blessed. You are blessed because we like to look around at what other people have and we pity ourselves and say, well, I just don't have that. But you are blessed. You may not be able to do what they do, but you're blessed. You are blessed. You may not move as fast as you used to, but you still move. You are blessed. Parents, you may not have perfect kids. Goodness knows your pastor doesn't have perfect kids. Listen, wake up. Nobody does. Nobody does, but you are blessed. You may not have a perfect marriage. Again, wake up. Nobody does, but you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. Just say this, I am blessed. So what's the problem? Where's our gratitude? He says, giving thanks always for all things. Paul said it this way in another place in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever happens in every situation, in every circumstance, we are to have a heart of gratitude, to give thanks unto God. If you have to make yourself to be grateful, then you are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You're not. Because an outpouring of a Spirit-filled life is a heart of gratitude. And finally, in verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here's the third characteristic, submission. Submission. Now some of you, like I often say, you're going to check out right now. Don't check out. Don't check out right now. The word submit terrifies some of people and a lot of people, maybe some of you, because of all the misconceptions that you may have about what submission is. But look, you know, this verse, again, is still part of the same sentence or the same train of thought, again, which Paul started in verse 18 when he is talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's what Paul is teaching us. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, submission will be an active practice in your life. I'm going to say that again because it is what Paul is teaching. If we are filled with the Holy Spirit, submission will be an active practice in our lives. And he goes on to really in the context of this, he says submitting yourselves one to another. So he is speaking of mutual submission, one to another. Now just to clarify, the word submit is translated from an original word that just was kind of like a military term. And it just simply referred to falling in rank under another person. But not in a negative way. You see, submission doesn't mean, and please remember, submission doesn't mean you become less important than the other person. Submission means you understand the importance of the other person. And it's quite different than what we often think. It doesn't mean you're less important. It means you understand the importance of the other person, whoever it is. Husband and wife in the context of marriages. And we're going to talk about that next 2 weeks. We're going to dig into building better marriages the next couple of weeks. But regardless, we need to understand what submission really is. Submission says that they matter, whoever that other person is. Submission says that their needs are important. Submission says that I'm willing to place their needs above my own needs, because I am willing to have a heart of a servant, even as Jesus Christ did. Why do you think submission would be a characteristic of the Spirit-filled life? Because being filled with the Spirit means that firstly, again, we have submitted the control of our lives to the Holy Spirit. And when we have done that, when we have submitted control of our lives to the Spirit of God, guess what? Submission becomes much easier for us to do. Think about it in your own marriage. The days, you know, you're, for lack of a better phrase, your more holy days. You know, you got those days where you're not so holy, and you got those days where you're maybe a little more holy, a little more like Christ. Now, in your more holy days, think about the impact that it makes and how you're more willing to submit or place the needs of your spouse above your own, your kids above your own. Why? Because you're filled with the Spirit. Now, think about those not so holy days that we all have. And that's normally when things get tight and friction is in place, regardless if it's with your kids or your spouse, with other people in your life. Why? Because we're not so filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, submission becomes easier and easier because we have given God proper place in our lives and in our hearts. And when we give God proper place, you know what we give other people? We give them proper place in our hearts and in our lives. We're no longer full of ourselves, but we are filled with the Spirit. And that makes all the difference in the world when it comes to you and I living as believers in the context of our marriages and friendships, and especially the body of Christ, the people you worship with every week, submitting one to another, lifting up them above your own self, their needs, valuing their needs above your own. And that doesn't mean you don't value your needs. It just means that you place others before yourself. Again, following the example of Jesus Christ, who set us the perfect example. Set us the perfect example. And you say, well, why? What's my motivation for submitting, for having submission, for placing the needs of others? Did you see what Paul said at the end of the verse? He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That doesn't mean, God, I'm terrified of you, which I think a lot of folks maybe need to be a little more terrified of God, and they wouldn't do what they do, but it just refers to reverence. Reverence. A deep, sincere awe and genuine respect and reverence for God. We submit to others because we reverence God. Because we think so highly of God, we think so highly of others. That's the idea that Paul is giving us. And when we begin to look at God in the proper way, then we begin to see others in the proper way. We begin to have submission as a part of our lives, and not something we have to pry out of you, but it's something that you're willing to do because you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You remember last week, at the end of our service, we shared with you kind of the idea of when, if you have an empty cup, and we talked to you about the one way that you get the air out of the empty cup. How do you get air out of the empty cup? Just to make sure you remember. You fill it. You fill it with something. A completely empty container. The only way to get air out is to fill it. To fill it. And here today, Paul is reminding us that when we have let ourselves be filled, when we have allowed ourselves seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, when we've let God pour the Spirit in, removing the other things, do you know what's going to remain? You know what's going to be in the cup? Worship, gratitude, submission. They'll be there if we are filled with the Spirit of God. I've shared this story with you of Dwight L. Moody when he was having a great revival campaign in England. One preacher protested and said, well, why do we need this Mr. Moody? He's just an uneducated, inexperienced preacher. Why do we need him? Who does he think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? Another much wiser preacher responded, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody. And that's what God wants for your life and my life. He wants to have monopoly over our hearts and lives. He wants to be it. He wants us to say, God, the decisions I make from now on, they're not mine, they're yours. The choices I make, they're yours. The things I do, I'm doing them for your glory and your honor. God, fill me today so that my life will overflow with worship and gratitude and submission the way that I need to. So my question as we close and as they come with a song and is simply this. Today, who has control of your life? Who has control of your life? Is it you or is it the Spirit of God? What are you filled with? I'm not talking about filled with silliness and, you know, and we get really stubborn and stuff like that. But who are you really filled with? Are you filled with yourself and all the desires and nature of this sinful flesh? Or are you filled with the Spirit of God? Do you worship willingly? Are you grateful always? And do you submit to God first so that you can place others where they need to be in your life? Would you please stand with us this morning? And that's the question right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Right now, I just want you to get real with God this morning. Don't get real with your pastor. That I'm not worried about. Get real with God this morning. And right now, every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you right now, think about that question. Who am I filled with? Am I filled with myself or am I filled with the Spirit of God? Do I need to worship more? Do I need to be more grateful? Do I need to submit more? Value others more than I do?
Into your purpose.